Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Starseed Radio Academy, empowering Starseed to better serve the planet.
Welcome to Starseed Radio Academy. It's Tuesday, October 22nd, 2013, and I'm your host, Ariel Taylor, with my co-hosts, Lavendar and Anastasia. Well, Mercury went retrograde yesterday and will be until the 20th of November, so make sure you take a look on the website to see what that's all about if you don't know, because you need to know. We just returned from a truly awesome crystal quest in Arkansas, and in a few weeks we'll be inviting the group to come on and share their stories on the show, and we know you're going to love hearing them, so make sure you watch for the announcement. Tonight, our special guest is Dr. Lori Moore, an animal communicator, certified hypnotherapist, international speaker, and teacher. She works with both people and animals, helping to clear issues, as well as teaching us how to do the same. You may have seen her TV show called Universal Love and Animal Communication. Dr. Moore has appeared across the U.S. and Europe as a keynote speaker, multiple dimensions communicator, and is a graduate psychology professor. She's got a special gift just for our listeners, which we'll hear about in a few minutes, and you can visit her website at animiracles.com, and that's animiracles.com. We'd like to thank Chris and Fiona for hosting our switchboard this evening, and you're welcome to call in with comments or questions. The number to dial is 917-889-8292. And remember to press 1 on your keypad so we know you want to come on the air. And if you like our show, we'd appreciate your support by clicking follow on our show page. If you're joining us for the first time, our main site is starseedhotline.com, where you can find a lot of vital information for Starseed in our Vault of Knowledge, and the entire site has been coded for Starseed activation. We have a forum for Starseeds at starseedhotline.ning.com, and we'd like to thank Rose and Tammy for their great work and dedication on behalf of our Starseed forum. You can also find us on iTunes if you'd like to download our shows to go, or download them right from our show page archives. Now, before we get started, I'd like to let you know that if you want to contact us privately, the toll-free number for our website is 888-881-0881. The Stage 1 Starseed confirmations are based on Lavendar's discovery of star markings and your natal astrological chart, and the Stage 2 session is a one-on-one phone session available with Lavendar, Anastasia, or myself. Remote healing sessions for people and pets are also available with Tammy. If you have a birthday coming up, you should know when your 10 hours of power will occur by getting your solar return timing. And please allow at least 2 weeks ahead of time to make sure that you do get it in time. And if you'd like a Stage 2 reading to interpret your solar return energies beyond just knowing when the window is, make sure you book it 2 months before your birthday, because we do have a waiting list. So now I want to introduce my co-hosts, Lavendar and Anastasia. Hello, ladies.
Good evening.
Well, hello. Anastasia, I've really missed you, girl.
Well, I have missed both of you terribly. It's so good to hear your voices. Now we're back to normal.
Yes, we are.
I guess it was a wonderful
journey.
Yes, I'm going to take it away, but I just want to tell you how much you were missed, and I'm sure it was a great journey. I can't wait to hear about it. Are we going to have a program about that coming up?
Oh,
yes,
yeah.
Yes, we will.
Yeah, not tonight, but later we get to find
right.
out about it. Those of us who had to stay home, yeah, be great. Okay. Well, let's start tonight's news by talking about the sun. During this morning's early hours, there was a long filament of magnetism that erupted on the sun. Now, radio emissions from shockwaves in the CME do suggest an expansion velocity of nearly, 700 kilometers a second, which is 1.6 million miles an hour. And they say that's a pretty run-of-the-mill speed for CMEs. But now, even though the eruption occurred right on the Earth's side of the sun, they say that the expanding cloud might miss Earth. They say that the bulk of this ejecta appears to be heading north of the Earth-Sun line. So the sun has been real quiet, but now it's starting to kick up a little activity. And there's been a comet explosion. This was a comet that a lot of people were really looking forward to seeing. It's about 450 million kilometers from the Earth, and it's called Comet C2012-1. It blew up, and astronomers that are watching it through telescopes are saying that it has a 100-fold increase in its brightness. And amateur astronomers, anybody with a telescope, will be able to see it in the night skies if it's clear outside. So that's a surprise. They were expecting it to follow Comet Ison, but it is gone. And every night there's a network of NASA all-sky cameras that scans the skies above the United States for meteors and fireballs. And yesterday they said that they had 38 fireballs that they had spotted, 22 sporadics, 12 from the Orionids, and 4 from the Southern Taurids. So fireballs are still in the sky, everybody. In fact, I'm going to give you an Orionid meteor update. Experts are detecting echoes from the Orionid meteors, and this does mean that Earth is still inside a stream of debris from the shower's parent comet, which is, as you all know, Halley. And the shower peaked yesterday with about 20 meteors an hour, but they say that Halley's debris stream is so broad that the Orionid activity will probably go on tonight. So if you're up before sunrise, be on the lookout for falling stars and make a wish. That's always fun to do. And let's see, they have a new comet. They've discovered a new one. It's designated Comet P2013T2 Schwartz. So they're finding new ones all the time. I know you're going to remember that. You just have to know it. And speaking of that, you know, there's been this, it's even been discussed before Congress, concerns about asteroids and fireballs and such since that explosion in Russia. The governments of the world are trying to decide what they're going to do because, in actuality, there is a blind spot for astronomers for incoming sometimes because of the sun. So there are certain asteroids that they can't spot. And so now the European Space Agency is going to launch something called the Gaia Space Telescope that's going to monitor the area between Earth and the Sun to warn of any impending collisions. Now, they say that Gaia, this satellite, not the Earth, will measure all the asteroids, including those between us and the Sun, which are really nasty ones because they can't be seen. And this is what's really interesting. They say that during this five-year mission of this Gaia satellite, which cost 800 million, by the way, 800 million pounds, they say it will also map the stars with unprecedented precision. This sounds exciting. They said it will give astronomers the first accurate 3D map. Is that cool? 3D
wow.
map of our galaxy, and will measure the distance between stars. So that should be really fascinating. That seems really advanced. So anyway, it's up there watching for asteroids that we can't see and also giving a 3D map of the galaxy.
Wow.
Far out. Yeah. Well, one of our Starseed listeners sent this to me, and I wanted to bring it up to you. Maybe some of you are aware of it. There was a UFO fireball that was filmed slowly falling from the sky in Akureyri, Iceland. And I looked at it on the video, and I really don't know what to think. It shows a really bright, very bright light slowly descending from the sky in Iceland. In a moment, it stops. It looks like an incoming fireball, but it's going way too slow. Stops for a split second, kind of hovers, then descends down into the middle of this little town. And when it gets to the bottom, it actually goes in front of the buildings, goes way down inside the town. You can see it glowing from the street or the lower level. And so people don't know if it's a UFO. They don't know if it's a fireball. It can't be a fireball. There's no way it's a fireball. But people are wondering if it was a UFO, and so a lot of people are saying that it's fake. You can Google that. Just Google Iceland UFO fireball to watch the video. I want to know what the Starseed listeners think about that. It really is interesting. You just don't know anymore, though, with Photoshop and all the things that are out there to change things
right.
around. But it's really fascinating. Well, you remember I told you a story about star jelly a few months ago. It was that substance that appeared in England at a pond in an area that was previously undiscovered. People found a bunch of goo, and very mysterious goo, and they call it star jelly, and there's been legends about it from the 16th century. And they never did find out what it was. They sent it away to be tested. Well, it has since been tested. from the Natural Museum, Natural History Museum in London, are the laboratories where they try to identify this stuff. And they took that star jelly in there, and you know they still can't figure out what it is. They say it's a real mystery. They don't know what it is. It's like gelatin. And they think that it's possibly linked with meteor sightings. At least it has been historically. So they say that it's becoming more mysterious because it keeps turning up. And it's not frog spawn. They've determined that. So they don't know what it is. So that's just an update on the star jelly that I talked about months ago. And our last story tonight, well, actually, we have two more real quick ones. Wanted to mention Fukushima with that typhoon that happened recently. There has been some spillage of radioactivity into the Pacific Ocean. But now it's come out today that two Fukushima workers commented on Twitter that the previous typhoon, the last one, caused a slope in the Fukushima area to collapse. And the slope of land faces the main street, and there was just a big landslide. And so they were upset because they said that there wasn't any press release or notification about it. But they say that Fukushima is very unstable and could collapse if there's another typhoon. So anywho, I don't know, but that is a very, very dicey situation over there and a really serious one. Well, now as we come up into fall and winter, you know, we all like to keep free of colds and flus, and there was an interesting article about hand sanitizer, which a lot of us use. You know, we put it on our hands when we get on the elevator or on the way home or out of the store or wherever. So a lot of people use hand sanitizer, but some of it's toxic. Research has shown that triclosan, which is the main ingredient in many hand sanitizers, can disrupt the endocrine system, and it amplifies testosterone levels. In animal studies, triclosan also reduced muscle strength, and it can harm the immune system. And so the FDA is reviewing the issue, and you know, people are being advised that if they're going to use hand sanitizers, use the kind that's made from alcohol. And they say really the only thing to do to keep yourself really well is to wash your hands often. But if you have to use hand sanitizers, use ones that are at least 60% alcohol. So had either one of you heard about that, about the triclosan?
No, I hadn't.
Mm-hmm. So when you check the bottles, you will see that you can get two kinds. Some are alcohol-based and some are triclosan. And, you know, that also goes for antibacterial hand soap, the pump bottles and otherwise, and antibacterial dish detergent. Those contain triclosan and really probably should be something that we would want to avoid. So just keep that in mind. And I think we're about out of time. I think we ought to end it here. But great to have you back. Great to be back with Starseed listeners. It's going to be a great show tonight.
It sure is. And thank you so much for this Starseed news update.
You're welcome.
We'll be watching. As far as the hand sanitizers, and all the antibacterial thing, all it's doing is making, germs stronger to resist it. So
absolutely,
they're like
telling
soap
us
and
that.
Water.
Nothing like soap and water. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
We'll see you next week.
Thank you so much for the Starseed News segment, and we will talk to you on the other side, so to speak. Thanks so much. Well, Lavendar, I'm going to turn it over to you. We have Dr. Lori Moore on the switchboard with us. And let me just bring her on, and you can introduce.
Okay. Lori, are you there?
Hi. Hi, everyone.
Hey, I've kind of got a frog in my throat. I've got a little bronchitis, so if you hear me kind of sniffling or whatever, just know I'm on the mend.
I got it, yes.
I came back from the Starseed Quest and just had to go to bed for a couple of days, but I'm ready to have this show with you tonight because I know that you do such wonderful, wonderful work. And so give us a little bio about yourself a little bit, how you came to know who you are.
Thank you, and I just would like to say how happy I feel to be on this show and connected with you and the three of you and everyone listening to this evening. This is just very sweet and peaceful feeling. I gosh, how did I find out who I am and what I do? I feel like the universe just kept reflecting it back to me so that more and more confidence came about my natural capacity to communicate with many different species, from animal to angel to benevolent beings from other realms to humans to plants to masters. And I believe we all have the natural capacity to do this, but some of us, for whatever reason, come in already to do this, and certain conditionings or societal structures can deter us for a while, or in my case made me think perhaps I was just extremely imaginative. But so many good things happened with life supporting me after I made a prayer to return to heaven on earth. And it was a very spontaneous prayer. It wasn't willful. I hadn't planned it. It just erupted out of my heart about 10 years ago. There was still a deep longing that wasn't fulfilled despite, I mean, in spite of many good things that had occurred in my life. And it just came out of me, please take me back to heaven on earth. And after this occurred, my cat, Jesse, who's just an amazing partner on many levels, his body was eaten by coyotes. And within 5 weeks, he had come back to me in another body and made it crystal clear that it was himself. And in this reunion, going into a space of oneness, of remembering, experiencing no lines between myself and anyone else, and returning to that deep, deep peace where I know that whoever I think I am is just a set of imaginings floating through, but much deeper, I and you and everyone are this universal love, that became evident. And since that time, I really gave myself back to being in service to wherever that light, that love takes me. I had always been in service to it, but I'd been much more quiet about the depth of communication that I'd been having with different beings, and quiet about articulating it. I spent a lot of time in solitude and prayer and meditation, but after that I felt it was my calling, my desire, my devotion to open others up, to bring people into environments where they could feel their heart opening.
Well, that's great. So you really now work with people and animals, but let's talk about animals for a minute. Tell us more about how you help people with their animals. Give us an example.
Well, people come to me primarily just because they want to understand what is my animal feeling, what is my animal thinking, and because people and their animals are in very intricate contracts about learning or reflecting each other. As soon as the discussion opens and I start sharing with the person all that's going on in the animal's heart consciousness, the person starts to usually go through some kind of a shift themselves. So I've had people that have healed broken hearts. I've had people that have just become more peaceful or happier. And of course, when people can understand what their animal is communicating, it opens them up to a whole new realm beyond the intellectual, but to a much deeper place inside where we all connect with one another.
So do you find one particular animal is easier, like cats, dogs, horses? What seems to be the easiest for you to communicate with?
I don't find one is easier. I find that some animals are more articulate and use a lot of words. Some animals communicate more through physical sensation, letting me know what they feel in their body. Some through inspired feelings like awe or reverence or compassion or unconditional joy or love, and some through pictures. And so it's always fascinating to me to find out when I talk to a new animal how that one communicates, but I haven't found that any one species monopolizes anything. It's not like one species uses words and one uses visuals. They're just unique. Each being is unique, just as in the human world.
Do you find that the animals that cross over, do they stay within their species or do they jump it into another species?
My experience is they become very amorphous when they go over. They're much more just like light and energy. Their intention remains the same, but there is some of that flavor left of the animal they were. And the ones that I've worked with that have come back into another life primarily have come back into the same species, although at times I have run into crossovers where someone has been a person and then an animal or vice versa, or an animal and a different kind of animal. It's much rarer than beings that come back as the same species, in my experience.
I just lost my calico cat. She was 16 years old, and I just lost her just a few days before we Starseed Quest. And so when I came back home, you know, she wasn't here to greet me, so I'm still kind of working with that.
I'm really
sorry.
So I'm
hoping
that
when we have the next litter of kitties that maybe she'll be one of them. What do you think?
Well, what she's communicating right now is, one, that she's in a lot of peace. She's a very, very bright light, and she's a very empathetic reflector of every feeling you have. So she stays with you very closely. I'm going to ask her now if she finds it's in her destiny, and I want to make that clear because sometimes people think it's up to the animal, that it's all will, but there seems to be a larger divine play going on where animals report to me again and again that they have some destiny they have to follow. And so what I'm going to do is ask her if it would be in her destiny to reincarnate anytime soon. And what is going on is right now there is some work to be done with her on the other side and you on this side. You're completely connected. There's been no disconnect. But once that work is done, it will be more clear, and it feels very likely that she will be able to reincarnate. Sometimes the animals will tell me, yes, I'm absolutely reincarnating. Sometimes they'll say, I can't, I'm not going to be able to. And other times they'll say, it's not completely determined, it's likely or unlikely. So she's saying it's very likely, but it's important to just really embed yourself in the depth of the peace that she's sharing with you. And I know grieving is happening, and that's so normal, and to be tenderly loved. And simultaneously, there's a very sweet peace between the two of you. And as you just fully embrace that, then it will become clear. Her reincarnation will be very likely.
Oh, thank you so much.
Yes, it feels very, very, very good to talk to such a bright light. She is, and she just loves you as you her.
You know, she's shown me so many things. I won't ever forget the day I looked across the street, and I guess there was some kind of galactic intervention when this happened. She was leaping across the street by, I'm saying like 20 feet at a time. And she was in the air. I mean, it was like, oh my goodness, what is happening with my cat? And she had been driven for like days to go across the street and sit in this one spot.
Wow.
And I kept, you know, calling her saying, why are you sitting over there? So finally, the last time she did it, then she did this wild thing in the air. And then she never went back after that.
Very powerful. They just know when something or someone's coming, and their connection with that. How wonderful. She just transmitted so much from the energy that was brought through that. That's just beautiful.
Yeah, and she would have a way of looking at me directly in my eyes and just, you know, and would download things to me just from her eyes. It was always amazing how she could do that.
Yeah, well, you two have such a similar fabric, like a similar flavor. You're very... very similar, so connected.
Now let's talk a little bit about your healing with humans or starseed. Tell us a little bit about how you do your work with a person.
Well, I tend to move through layers, and sometimes people just shift, but often it's through layers. So when I'm working with someone, I'm really looking at what's not being spoken by themselves to themselves. And animals often are a great key to help with that. But I do many sessions where it's just a human and myself, and they're perplexed because they've been stuck in some area of their life, or a self-defeating habit hasn't been erased despite all kinds of self-growth attempts or therapy. And sometimes someone's been trying to manifest something that's not manifesting, or they're confused about a relationship. So I just start to look into what's going on. What are the underneath layers? Is there a stuck emotion? Is there a stuck lifetime? Is there just an willingness to be able to look at what's really present. And as soon as I start to articulate it, we're in relationship and we can start to recreate what's going on. Layers begin to erase themselves and move out. Sometimes I let the energy flow through me to assist the person with changing. And sometimes just by talking, they go through that change themselves. But the outcome is a shift that better prepared, better able to manifest, release a self-defeating habit. And more importantly, really, many people that work with me just open up to much, much greater comfort of who they really are, deep in their heart, deep in their soul, deep where unconditional peace is very, very real. That's it in a nutshell.
You know, as I hear your voice, I know that your voice is so coded for, what's the word I'm trying to find? It's beyond peace. It's a very strong balancing frequency. It's like whatever's going on in a person's life, it's almost like your voice just stops the chatter in their brain. Am I saying? I'm trying to
articulate what I'm hearing
in your voice.
That makes total sense. I feel that's really a lot of what my role is, to just stop short all these beliefs that are swirling around and take us back to the heart essence. And I feel so thankful that I don't know why I had that role. I'm just so happy I do. And really, as a teenager in my 20s and early 30s, I got a lot of insults from my voice. And I was taking all these voice lessons, and I was convinced something was really wrong with me. And then I don't know how it all switched around. Maybe I realized that my voice was fine. And since then, everybody's been telling me what a gift my voice is. So I'm really grateful.
Well, that's because, you know, you're on a different wavelength with your voice. Not many people will know or understand it unless they're attuned to a higher vibration, and you really carry that. I feel like that you carry hummingbird and the angelics and the fairies and the gnomes and the elementals, and at the same time you're going into the animal kingdom and then the starseed vibration. I'm feeling all of those at once.
I'm so happy to hear that, and that makes complete sense to me. Thank you.
And thank you so much for what you said about Callie. I kind of went to another subject and forgot to thank you for saying those nice words about my Callie.
Yeah, my pleasure, my honor.
So, let's see. Why don't we talk a little bit about your experience that you've been having recently with starseeds, people that are awake, people that are on the move for the planet. Do you find a lot of people coming to you that have environmental pursuits, like inventing new things for the planet? Have you been seeing a surge of that?
Yes, I have, and I feel so lucky because really for the last 11 years, people started coming from all over the world, people who were connected multidimensionally, people who have new ways of bringing goodness to our planet. And definitely it's a time where so many people are looking into what can we do, because we have many big problems now of what's happened with the Earth and how can we bring it back into resonance and harmony practically as well as energetically. And I'm happily surprised at how many people are involved in this pursuit.
Well, I just feel like that you're fixing to embark. I noticed that you have a television show that's coming up called Animal Communication and Universal Play. And tell us a little bit about that show.
Well, I was very fortunate because during the time that I was traveling a lot to the Hawaii Islands and Europe and around USA, I met so many people. And by the grace of their goodness and this incredible producer who just approached me and said she wanted to create this show out of clips from the seminars I had taught all those years, and it was a gift to me and the world, and I'm just shocked and delighted. By the grace of people around the country, and some who are trying in other countries, this show has ended up on about 20, 25, maybe more community television stations all over in all different states and cities. And there have been some delays with it. There's been some setbacks, but we think we should be up and running early in the new year. And it's clips of people going through transformations, animals going through transformations. It's my work in motion with groups and individuals, and just very sweet to see what happens with the people as they go through their changes.
So I noticed that you sent me an email saying that you wanted to gift some 15-minute sessions to any of our listeners. Would you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I came up with this idea about 6 weeks ago that I would give up to 250 free 15-gift mini sessions, like to put little sparks of light and new openness all over the world. And I got a really big turnout, much more than I expected, right away. So I've already booked 100 of them. And I'm going to book 150 more, but I'm up to March. And so at this point, I'm now, anyone who emails me and just put 15-minute gift lavender in the subject line, I will keep your name and email. And in the new year, I'll start a booking for March, April, May, and June once I finish this first batch. So anyone who would like to experience a 15-minute gift mini reading for yourself or an animal, a loved animal on this side or the other side, or someone, or it can be a human who passed over, for any of the reasons we've mentioned in the show, to release a self-defeating habit, to make a shift, to understand, to get more clarity, just to understand your animal, any of those, all you have to do is email me at Lori, L-A-U-R-I-E, at D-R as in Dr. Lori, L-A-U-R-I-E, more, M-O-O-R-E, .com. And again, just put 15-minute mini lavender in the subject line. And to make it easier, just go to my website and you can get my email off that. It's annamiracles.com. It's A-N-I-Miracles.com. That's A-N-I-Miracles.com. And then I'll be giving you your free 15-minute mini reading sometime between March and June.
You were saying earlier in the questions that you sent me that you had some clients that had, you know, several sessions with other psychiatrists, psychologists, and therapy, and it didn't work for them. Can you give us an example and tell us more about what it is that you can do after the other conventional doctors can't seem to help?
Yeah, actually, I've had a number of people who went to traditional therapy for 10, 20 years. And although it helped them feel a little better, they never really shifted the energy problem. So, for example, one woman who was highly traumatized as a child and was abused had this deep, depressive energy that she would sink into repeatedly. And she did one session, and her husband was shocked because she just was full of light, and she released. I helped her to release that, so she was like a different person. She was blossomed into herself. And another woman who was suffering for years and years and years of a heartache because of her son rejecting her, and she had done all kinds of things, but she came into the session, and I took her into the depth of the heartache where it transformed into complete peace, where she found this reservoir of complete self-love and acceptance in the fabric, in the energy of what seemed to be this terrible problem. And, of course, it was a non-preferable problem, but it shifted her into her awakening. And so a lot of times people kept trying to solve their problems, and they didn't solve them, so they came to me, and they awakened into this new state of deep, deep peace, and then the problem could energetically evaporate, so they didn't have to carry it in their biological structure anymore.
Oh, that's great. Do you have a particular formula for people that have addictions like drug and alcohol addiction?
I do work with people with addictions, and I do use a lot of the going through the layers, just like I was talking about. But I do some other kinds of tactics, too. If people want, we can do some hypnotherapy or EMDR. What I love to do, it's called Success Love Now, and that's the name of one of my books. It's 8 steps that really take you into your transformation. So you come in and work with me, you transform, but then when you leave, you can work with those steps yourself, and they're built around turning your vibration back into gratitude, back into love, so the vibrations that have been cycling through you that you don't need can be extracted naturally.
Have you worked with a lot of people that have experienced ghosts or seeing, you know, people that have crossed over and haven't been able to go on? Have you worked with anyone like that? Can you give us an example?
I mostly work with the people who have crossed over, went to the light, and just need a medium to communicate back to their people. I have sent people over to the light, and I do have a colleague I send people to if beings are hanging around and it's not in everyone's best interest to clear them. But mostly when I'm talking to people on the other side, they chose to go right up to the light, and they just need someone to explain to their loved ones here what their experience is and to answer questions because their loved ones are missing them.
Okay. That I'm just very, very happy that you have chosen this line of work, because your voice is so, it's so coded for so many different avenues of expression. As I'm listening to you, it's like it's, I'm trying to stay present and have a conversation at the same time. I've got like five channels that are working you, and I'm trying to not do that. Sorry.
There's a lot of great energy happening in our conversation, and I feel the depth of peace that you're grounding in, and then this joyous excitement. So it's going back and forth. It just, yeah, it's wonderful to talk to you and be able to bring all these realms and have it heard. How wonderful.
Right. I know that you're not going to be able to be with us the full time. So, Arielle, if you're there, why don't you make an announcement and ask if there's anyone on the switchboard that would like to call in and talk to Lori, or if you have anything you would like to ask her. I'm turning it over to you now.
Okay, well, if anyone on the switchboard would like to make a comment or question for Dr. Lori, just you have to press 1 on your keypad so that we know you want to come on the air. And Lori, do you also teach people how to do communication like you do, right?
I do. Right now, the seminars are on hold, and I'm just doing private tutorials for people who want to communicate with the animals or communicate in another way, multidimensionally, really with all life, with all species here and beyond.
Well, you know, there are so many wonderful souls that have come in the form of animals, and I know they have a lot to teach us. And I know for myself, sometimes, you know, when you're too close, how do you discern whether you are really tuning in, or if your left brain is filling in the answers? You know, like with my animals, I'm very, it's almost like you're too close to it. How do you get past that?
Well, that's a really good question, and you are going to be using both sides of your brain and all of your consciousness when you're in personal relationship as well as universal relationship, because you have to figure things out like self-care, care for another. But if you make sure that you spend a lot of quality time just tuning back into your universal place, the place from which you do your own readings and healing work, then you will have a more neutral relationship with the animal. Not neutral like void of love, there'll be deep, deep love, but you'll be able to experience who they're showing up as on their own terms for the purpose they incarnated for, which is really a good thing for us to do with our own family members, our spouses, our kids, our even our friends, because when we're in personal relationship with anyone, animal or person, we can tend to forget that, and we get acclimated to what we like about their characteristics or what our role is. But when we just take our heart back to that universal place, we get a much better understanding of who someone is.
And can you, if a person had an issue with another person, whether it was, you know, a family member or, excuse me, a relationship, is it possible to do this kind of on a subliminal level where you're talking heart to heart without words, you know, because sometimes I know people that are so entrenched in a particular problem and they can't talk about it. But can you do this kind of work subliminally where you just go and you talk to the person's heart and communicate basically with their higher self?
Yeah, it's interesting you ask that because there's a little frog right outside the window who really liked that question. So I'm laughing, but seriously, this frog has been helping me so much with my work. And a lot of times in the way you're saying, like we haven't been talking a lot intellectually, but the frog has been sending numerous messages through the silence about joy. And it's the same with people. If it's gotten to the point that the articulation and the dialogue is just going to recreate the contraction that the problem is based on, then I can work with them separately, one-on-one, and help them to get very clear on what their deepest intention is, and usually some forgiveness. And then they and I together can send some love, send some dialogue that's no longer attached or controlling or agendaed into what the other person should be. And that's when openings start to take place.
Yeah, there's a I know there's a place that you can go to communicate with someone when you know on a telepathic level, when sometimes that you can bypass the big thing that you can't talk about, you know.
Yes, and when people are in conflict with each other, at least one, and most usually both, have some kind of agenda about who they think the other one should be or how they think the other one should participate, which really isn't in alignment for what the other one needs to go through. And so when each person can get their own focus back to its cleanest place of receptivity to the other and acceptance of what the other one's behavior is actually bringing up in the self that the self doesn't really want to see, everything neutralizes, and then that telepathic communication feels loving and prayerful, and the other person will pick it up as that rather than something that is not feeling too good. And that's where the change can happen.
Well, it can be a very powerful thing. I know I've seen that happen. We do have a caller, and are you open to answering questions for people about their pets?
Yes, I'm happy to.
Okay. Well, then we are going to be talking to Jane here in just a second, as soon as I get the microphone open. Okay. Jane, you're on the air, and would you like to ask your question to Dr. Lori?
Hi, yes. Hi, Arielle. Hi, Dr. Moore. Well, when I was asked what I wanted to ask you, it has to do with my cat, Dominique, and my relationship with her. She has, over the past year or so, become more needy, and I also, I think, have become the same way, and I wondered if she's trying to give me a message. I mean, she just meows for food all the time when she's never been a big overeater, and she's still not an overeater because I don't meet her demand of running to the food bowl and giving it to her, but she seems to just be hungry. And I don't know what's going on with her, and I don't know what's going on with me that I have such a resistance to really, really, really loving her in a pick-up, cuddly kind of way like I think I used to.
Okay, well, there is a physical and an emotional component going on. So she is feeling tired, and her tiredness is feeling like a weakness. So that does need to be addressed by bolstering the physical body, and that's something that a naturopath for animals or a holistic vet for animals could help with the right supplements and remedy, maybe some colostrum, but really a vet should answer exactly what. But on the emotional side, yes, there is some resistance towards a deep kind of heart sorrow and heartache that is being asked of you both to drop into it so that what is in it that is a gift can be revealed. So do I have permission to take a few minutes to work with you on the air right now with that?
Sure.
Okay, so when you feel into your own heart right now about your thoughts about her, and you just notice what feeling is there, maybe some frustration or anger comes up, and maybe, yeah, you just breathe into it like you are, and just notice the sensation, and as you sit fully, lovingly in the sensation, find out where you end up without trying to control it with any thoughts, just slipping, merging into the sensation in your own heart to find out what occurs. And something might come up in other parts of your body, like your throat, but you just want to stay with whatever it is that comes up. Curiosity might come up, but just stay with the sensation even deeper than the concept. And let me know what you're experiencing in this moment now.
A kind of grief. It feels like grief. It's right in my throat, too, so I can't talk.
Yeah, okay, you don't need to talk. So we're right here with you, and you just keep merging into that grief. It's not bad at all. It's not anything but grief. And just lovingly, it's been asking you to feel it. And just keep breathing into the sensation of it. Not even knowing anymore at this moment that it's grief. Just breathing in. There you go. Breathing fully. Very good. Into the sensation that's there. The time you're using for yourself with all of us on the air witnessing you is healing all of us. So we thank you deeply and just keep staying with it. Just keep softening into it. And if a block comes up, like, oh, I can't go anymore, I have to stop, just go right into the block. Just move right into whatever's in your heart. If fear comes up, move right into that. And if some exhilaration or more eagerness comes up, move into that. And what are you experiencing in this moment now?
It's like something came in and made it stop. I mean, something sort of came in like it was kind of weird. Something just kind of came. Something.
Yeah. What are you feeling now?
Yeah. Okay. Something. Wow.
Yeah.
Something just kind of. Wow. Something just kind of came in like a. I don't even know what to call it.
It did. Something energetic really just did come in, and something changed. Yeah.
Almost like one of those flying carpets.
Good.
That would come and just sort of pick you up, and you just kind of off you go on your magic carpet.
There you go. Great. Perfect. Yay. Thank you.
Okay, so what about my cat?
So you keep going into your experience of your cat.
Wow. Wow.
And things will shift. But your cat is saying your cat needs some help physically. The system really does need some rebooting. So ask the vet if colostrum would help, but to look if a holistic vet would be really good. Good.
Okay.
Great.
Thank you. What
my
an experience.
Pleasure. Good.
Thank
I'm
you.
So glad.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Wow.
One
thanks,
time somebody came over and because I now work in my home because I can keep the energy just right here. I used to have offices in town, and I do the phone and Skype, but also people come right into my home. And she just looked at me after a little bit, and she said, Lori, I think someone just came in and vacuumed my problem right out of me. Could that have happened? I said, great, yes, that can happen. Yes, that is really how life is meant to be. This is just awesome. I'm so happy she experienced what she just experienced.
And we're grateful to you for being willing to help people right here on the air. We have another caller with a question as soon as I get the mic open. Hello, Jordan. Good to hear from you again. How are you doing, sweetie?
Good. How was the crystal quest?
Oh, it was fabulous. Fabulous. We have great people like you. Jordan was with us on our last crystal quest. And you have a question for Lori?
I do. I wanted to know, when I was little, I was able to talk to animals. And one of them was a goose, I believe, when I was very small. And also got to talk to some cows. And both of them were very concerned that people eat them. Do you come across that?
It's an individual thing about life and death and how life and death happens. And, of course, there are animals that are going or are most likely going to be eaten that don't want that to happen. And there's other times where I'll be watching a cat have a conversation with a mouse and the mouse has decided it's time to leave the body. Or, for example, I remember a chicken who said, okay, my life is coming to close now. I'm going out and I'm going to call out in the night for a coyote to come quickly take my body so my soul has a way out. So there's times when souls would like to leave the body, are ready to leave the body, and actually in the quick food chain way would be happy to have a coyote take them or whatever. And there's times where souls are, no, we didn't sign up. We don't remember signing up for this. We didn't want a person to take our life. And that was what you were hearing, and I'm sure that was distressing for you.
And so these mega slaughterhouses are very, very sickening to me. I do eat some meat, very little meat. I'd like to go completely vegetarian, but I do eat just a little meat at times. But anyway, just completely sickening. And then I just wanted to also ask you, have you ever come across any humans that crossed over into animal bodies or animals into human bodies?
Yes, I've talked to a few dogs and a cat who had been, I think a horse too, come to think of it, who had lifetimes as humans. And it's like I was saying at the beginning of the show, it's rare. More often I talk to people who have been people, cats who have been cats, rabbits who have been rabbits. But occasionally I talk to someone who has switched species, yes.
Okay. And then if you could just help me with my horse. His name is Mojo. I had his mother. He's half Mustang and half Arab. And he just seems to be anxious, and I just got a new pal for him. But the new pal is biting him, and he just seems to be anxious. Is there anything I can do to help
him? He's very worried, yes. He's very worried, and he doesn't know yet how to integrate his energy field into his own physical body. So I'm going to just do a little troubleshooting and find out, is that because there's something with the body that needs healing, or is it more of a karmic issue or what? So you're going to hear quiet for just a moment while I check in. The body, the body is really different than the energy field. The body is different than the soul. So it's when our soul meets with our body, sometimes it's like a really good, easy marriage, and sometimes it can be like a conflicting marriage. And so this body is quite different. And so help is needed to feel comfortable to go into the body, and the body's just too like strong and too full of weight for this particular soul. So I'm telling him if he can just kind of start to softly approach his body, so bit by bit he can learn to feel good inside of it. I would also have the body fully checked in case there is something that's making the body uncomfortable, but that's not the crux of what I'm saying. So the way you can work with him is just to keep acknowledging that you understand this difficulty. It's a real difficulty, and that he can keep approaching the body. This is really such a vast difference between this energy and this body. He can just keep approaching it and playfully start to experiment with how to settle into it.
Okay, so he basically doesn't want to go into this body, or that he's just having time integrating it?
He's having trouble relaxing into the body because it doesn't feel right to the way he is used to moving his energy. His energy is more like wispy. It's more moving, and the body has a more sturdiness than he's used to. It's like a different rhythm. One is mm-hmm. more air-like, and the body has more earth-like in it.
Okay. So massage, maybe, or
massage, acupressure,
okay.
acupuncture, if it's okay with him.
Okay.
Yeah, that could really help. There's some places where meridians feel stuck, and that would help too. But wait a sec. The body carries some sorrow, and
his mother.
Okay. Yeah, and so that's part
of the I took his mother
thing.
Away too soon, I believe.
Okay,
which
that
was
makes
a
sense.
Big
yeah.
mistake on my part.
You
I
just
know that
didn't
now.
Know. Yeah, so lots of loving and forgiveness to yourself because you didn't realize. So, yeah, so he needs a lot of love to kind of move that sorrow through him so he feels more comfortable to be in,
okay.
in the body. Yeah.
You're very in tune, and I really appreciate your help. Thank you so very much. Thank you, Lavendar and Ariel.
Thank you.
Welcome. Good to hear your voice again, Jordan.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You have some really wonderful listeners that call in. I feel very, very thankful to talk to such receptive people.
Oh, we have just great listeners. Our audience is awake, they're in tune, and they really carry a lot of galactic and loving energy. So we're going to talk to Ellen next. As soon as I get your mic open, you'll be on the air. Okay. Hi, Ellen. You're on the air with Dr. Lori Moore.
Thank you for taking my call. And Dr. Moore, thank you so much for giving your time and efforts like this.
My pleasure. My joy. Thank you.
I'm calling because I have a cat who I adore, I love. I consider him family. His name is Oliver. We've been through a lot together, so we're very close. And he developed diabetes about a year and a half ago, and he's in treatment and so forth. Is there anything else I can do for him? And maybe you can zone into him and feel how he's actually feeling emotionally and physically.
Well, emotionally he's happy, and he recalls what it's like to be a little kitten, and he carries that energy with him even though it's not, you know, what's happening. And so he's happy, and he sometimes kind of withdraws out of his body into a daydream about that. And he's just so excited about you and loves you so much. That brings him so much joy. So let me ask him about physically, because he isn't really commenting on that. Just a minute. Yeah, physically it's really hard. It's all jumbled up. That's how it feels for him. Feels like everything's jumbled up and it's not quite moving in the ways that it used to. But that is not deterring his spirits at all.
Is there anything that I can do for him? I mean, what I do currently is I give him insulin injections twice a day. He was supposed to have had dental surgery last week, but they couldn't do it because he turned blue when they were giving Aww. Him anesthesia.
Aww.
So it's like, is there anything else I can do for him?
Well, it's wonderful that you're giving the insulin and then a holistic vet can also do supplements and homeopathics to help strengthen the body, and sometimes that lowers the insulin need. So I would look into that.
Okay.
Yeah. He's happy. He loves you. He's happy. Very happy despite this challenge, this physical challenge. So bless you for how much love you're giving him. That's what he needs the most, and that's what he's receiving, and your great care and attentiveness.
Thank you, Dr. Moore. I feel better already.
Good.
Thanks for calling, Ellen.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, I wanted to remind people who don't call in today but who do want to receive their 15-minute gift session, even though I'm booking out until March, to just pop me an email through my Anna Miracles website, animiracles.com. That's animiracles.com. Just put 15-minute lavendar in the subject line, and I'll know why you're writing, and then I'll be in touch to book that with you down the road. That's it, free. It's a gift, and that's for you or an animal.
It's such a wonderful thing to do, Lori, because there's so many people that would be opened up then to another whole dimension. You know, so you're really opening the door for a lot of people, and we appreciate and honor that.
Thank you.
We have another caller. And we will be on the air in just a moment. This switchboard is kind of slow right now. Hello, Joan. You're on the air.
Hi, this is Joanne. Hi, Ariel.
Oh, Joanne, sorry. Hello.
Hi, Dr. Moore. Hi.
Hi, Joanne.
I have a question regarding my cat. I had a cat who passed away. His name is CL. And he passed away in 2010, and I was just curious if you could tune into his energy to find out if he was one of the souls that went to the light. And also, he died a few months after my father died, and I'm wondering if there is a connection between both of their souls.
Okay. Well, yeah, he definitely went to the light. And just to let everyone know, I've never met an animal who didn't. Only people sometimes resist temporarily, but I've never met an animal who didn't. So he did. He's having fun. He's just being kind of playful and stretching and enjoying feeling qualities of stretching. Everything's very simple. And then your father is, who is your father? What's his name?
His name is Lionel.
Okay. And when did he go over?
He went over in 2010 in April, and then CL went over in May.
Okay. Well, they have awareness and fondness of each other. They're both kind of doing their own thing. Mm-hmm. And your father is just emanating a very sweet warmth. And everybody's doing very good. Do you have any more specific questions about that?
And he has a brother who's still alive. His name is T.S. This is CL's brother. Are you able to tune into him to see how he is doing regarding he's actually with my mother right now.
Okay, let me find him. How old is he?
He's 6.
Okay, just a minute while I find him. Oh yeah, he's doing great. You know, just like people, when animals lose someone, it can be very upsetting and traumatic. But this one's doing really fine because he's actually quite in touch with those he loves on the other side. So he's just like a bright light and sweet.
So good to hear.
Yeah, very, just a very bright, positive kind of eager energy. So he's good.
Oh, good. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Thanks for calling, Joanne. Bye-bye. I just clicked the wrong place. Sorry, Chris. We could do that back again. we have someone in the screening. Oh, that was Fiona. Sorry about that. Someone's in the screening room, so we have to wait a moment here. But, you know, people have such close relationships with animals. I mean, at least the people that I know, their pets are like their children. And the service that you're doing is just so wonderful. I'm just so grateful that you are with us, that you're on the planet, and doing such meaningful work.
Thank you. It's so wonderful to be on this planet at a time where this can be my work. I feel so excited, and it's just being on a show like this feels incredible, and thank you.
Well, you're so welcome. While we're waiting for the next caller to come out of the screen room, I wasn't going to say this, but I can't help myself. I had a horse, a galactic horse named Avatar, and I lost him suddenly, unexpectedly. And any word from him? I mean, I can feel him around me a lot, but I'd like to hear.
Is he just a little pensive sometimes, contemplative maybe? If that's where he is right now. Or have you been a little bit contemplative or pensive lately? That's not a bad thing. That's just something we experience.
Well, I think I'm always contemplative, but...
Okay. He's contemplative with you. He watches you, and he... Yeah, he's contemplative right now, and he's just temporarily pensive, like as in today. That doesn't mean tomorrow or yesterday.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Peaceful. Completely fine with everything. Very bonded to you, always close to you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, doesn't matter, the physical's gone, stayed very close to you.
Well, he was an ET in a horse suit.
Yeah. He's saying that, okay, I see. There's like a lot of grace, a lot of coming your way, and it's going to feel at first in this short time period that's already started, it's almost going to feel like clutter or weight, like there's too much of something around you, but then you're going to just spurt open and find that it's opening the way to an even more lighter, you know, and you're full of light, but an even more kind of exuberant, lighter experience. It's going to turn out to be a great blessing, and now he's happy that I'm understanding what he's pensive about. So that's what he wants you to know. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, it does. And you know, I actually did a radio show tribute to him, and he was undecided on whether he was coming back, and I had someone else tell me that the coming as a horse was like a one-time thing, and that he's off doing more galactic work and not planning on coming back as a horse. Does that sound correct to you?
It feels like he is undecided, but it's I feel he's undecided, but it's more likely that he won't be coming back at least anytime soon or during this lifetime for you. And that he'll be with you through the ages. But coming back as a horse doesn't feel probable.
Yeah, well, you know, in the third dimension, it's just right now I'm so busy, you know,
yeah.
Just with Starseed Hotline and the radio show that I was thinking, you know, could I even get to the barn to go riding on a regular schedule, and I don't think I could. And
yeah.
I think that he knows that, and he's quite happy to ride shotgun out of body. So
yeah.
Well, we have our caller out of the screening room, and gosh, I can really tell that Mercury's retrograde because I'm clicking and nothing is happening. Let me try again. Okay, all right. Joan, you are on the air.
Hi, how are you all tonight?
Hi.
I'm calling for my cat, Noche, who I brought home from the Humane Society in the spring. She got out of the carrier, looked around, and she was at home, and she was very content and happy. But something's changed. She seems agitated, and I don't know what it is. I don't know what to do for her. It's frustrating for both of us.
Is there any chance she saw an animal, even like a little animal, like a rat or something? She seems to be agitated about something she saw, and what she's showing me is something she saw that I think is alive and that she saw down on the ground.
Not that I'm aware of. We moved about 3 months ago.
And is that when she got agitated?
Well, I think she was okay then. I had knee surgery, so I'm not 100% sure that she was okay because I was on pain meds, and I really think she was fine until...
Well, she says she's monitoring some animal that feels like a predator, so I'm not sure why it's...
That's what it's like.
She'll
be sitting with me, and all of a sudden she's watching. She's like she's chasing something, and you know, but I don't see anything.
Okay.
So I don't know what she's seeing or what to do about it or how to help her.
Is she just chasing it around on the ground, or is she looking out the window?
No, inside the house.
Okay, yeah, because that matches the pictures she's showing. It's as if there's something small that's just taking all her attention and hiding. That's all I really can tell you is that she seems to be monitoring some small animal. And it does feel to me like it's animal in the physical realm. And so there might just be something hiding somewhere, some rat.
Maybe woodpeckers outside.
Well, if she was monitoring something outside, she'd be looking outside. And she seems to think there's something closer to the ground than woodpeckers up in the tree.
Okay.
That's really all she has to say about it.
Really?
Yeah,
okay.
I know with some people, you know, brought up emotional or spiritual issues, but this is what she's telling me, so, yeah.
Okay. we'll go with that. I guess she'll take care of it eventually. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Thanks for calling, Joan. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay. Well, Lori, we have one more caller.
Great.
And I'm clicking. Okay, Derek, you're on the air.
Hi, how you doing?
Hi, Derek.
Hi. I don't want to bring anybody down, but I got kind of a sad story. I have a cat who I've had for 15 years, and her name's Choo Choo. And I think she's, based on all the signs I can see, she's getting ready to leave, you know, cross over. And... for me, it's just, it's tough to, I don't want to, but I also don't want her to be, you know, in pain and such.
She is getting ready to cross over. She's very powerful, very strong energy, very good energy, quite a magician warrior. And she will probably want help. Let me ask her what she needs first. Yeah, if you want to help her, that will be okay. She will take her soul when the body stops and just go exit right through your heart, through your back, right out of you. You'll feel a really strong electric current. She's fine, and she loves you, and she understands it's time to go to the next dimension. And just one second, I'm going to double-check if she wants the helper. She can do it herself. She could do it herself. She would dwindle more and more. She's actually prepared. That would be okay with her. It might be really hard on you, scary to watch. And so she's also okay with getting help because that might feel better for you. And I'm so sorry because I know how sad it is when our loved one leaves their physical body.
Yeah, okay. That's good. Thanks for the information.
Sure.
Okay, bye.
Thanks for calling, Derek. I know this wasn't easy.
It's really hard when your animal has to go.
Well, like they are, they're like our children.
Yeah.
And I think in a lot of cases, and you probably see this, that the animal is more concerned about the human.
Yes, I see it all the time.
Because they know that they have to go, and and they're concerned about their human not, you know, having to go through the grief and all that. But,
yes, and I want to add that the animals do give signs to help their people, just like Derek really was understanding already. I was just kind of reflecting what he was probably experiencing to some degree, And so regardless of anything I ever say to anyone, please trust yourself. You are your own authority before any teacher, before any guide, and that's the most important thing. I share with you what I receive from my communicating with the animals and being receptive, but your animal who lives with you, you know inside out. So always go with what you really trust as right for yourself.
Well, that's very good advice. Well, I think that's all of the callers. We don't have anyone else as at this moment with a question for you. So is there anything that you would like to conclude or add or talk about in the minutes we have left?
Yes, I'd like to invite everyone to find the place in your heart where you do communicate with your animals, and just that love and recognition you have of your animal friends is the basis of your communication. And so to develop that, you just focus on your gratitude for the animal you love. And if you have a question, you ask that animal, would it be okay for me to ask a question? And you start to notice, what am I receiving back? Is it a picture? Is it a word? Is it a feeling? And of what I'm receiving back, is somewhat different than just the thoughts and feelings I rotate around in my own self. And that's your beginning of how you communicate more with your animals. Some people find out they've been communicating all along. They just needed to give themselves permission to recognize it. And so I leave you with this understanding that you all have this capacity, and if you're with an animal, it just shows that you have love for animals and you have this capacity. And I do want to just remind people one more time of my gift mini readings, which you can sign up for by emailing me through my website, animiracles.com. That's animiracles.com. animiracles.com, and just put 15-minute lavendar in the subject line, and I'll be scheduling you for March and after. And I want to say that every show I'm on, radio, public talk, TV, they're all very different. They all have their own flavor, and the flavor starts coming in before the show starts. And today, such great peace came in, such clearness, such cleanness from these beautiful, beautiful souls who have created this Starseed Hotline, and just wonderful. I'm so thankful, and I had an incredible reading from Lavendar myself, and the audience has been such sweethearts and profound souls. I'm so thankful to be with all of you.
Well, we would just love to have you come back at another time, because you have so much love in your heart, and you really do walk your talk, and that's so important.
Thank you. I can't wait to come back. That will be so fun. Thanks.
Well, that would be great. And I think you said you're not doing seminars right now. You're just doing private work?
Yes. For a few years, I'm just rebuilding my energy reservoirs after running all over the place and being home and doing my one-on-ones, phone, Skype, and in person.
Well, it's very meaningful and beautiful work that you're doing. And when you do get to your TV show sometime after the first of the year, please let us know. We'll bring you back on and help you promote the show, and I know that there will be a lot of people who will benefit from that.
Thank you. I will definitely do that. Thank you.
Well, you're so very welcome. I want to just bring up one more thing, and it's from my own experience, and I don't know. I think you probably would agree with me. When you do have to help an animal to the other side, isn't it best for the animal for you to be there for the whole thing rather than just drop them off?
Yes,
if you know what
definitely.
I mean.
Definitely. Yes, the animal. Well, first of all, I'll always let you know what, and you can call an animal communicator if you're not sure, but the animal will tell you if they need more time to be with you before it's going to be their time to leave, if they're going to go out of their body, or if they're going to need help. And then it's better for everyone if you are together and you experience this ending and this beginning. We're created so that even with the depth of grief of an ending, the beauty and elation of a birth occurs right in that same moment. And you really want to be there for that, and you want to be there, most importantly, to love your animal so that animal feels totally loved as that animal departs. That's so vitally important. If possible, and we know sometimes animals have to leave when we're teaching or we're away or we're on vacation, and sometimes animals will choose to do that because in that case they feel that will be the best path for everyone, and they know, they have that ability to determine. But if you're both there, that's the animal's way of saying, this is, I chose my leaving with you here, so let's be together.
Yeah, and it's a very traumatic kind of, you know, emotional experience for the human, but you will never regret sharing that moment and, you know, letting your beloved pet cross in your arms or in your presence. And, you know, it's just always something that you can know that you did for them, one last thing that you did for them in love.
Yes, just like you're saying, although the pain is very heart-wrenching, the love and the closure and the being there for them and them being there with you goes with you, and you won't have a regret. And of course, every situation's unique, so maybe there's a situation here or there that will break the rule of what we're saying, but I would say 95 or more percent of the time, maybe 99, this will hold true.
Mm-hmm. Well, Lavendar, we're about to sign off. Would you like to make some final comments or questions for Lori?
Yes, my cats here just love her voice. They're just all just staring at the phone. Yeah. And you know I got a bunch of them.
Well,
yeah, it's,
love
she
it.
Has a way with her human voice speaking cat, okay?
That's great.
You know, Lori, you're obviously connected to the universal all that is, and we so enjoy that you have shared this with us and showed us and taught us and helped some of us break through. So thank you so much.
You're welcome. Yay.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah.
Well, once again, you have a free gift for our listeners. All they have to do is email you, and they can find your email address on your website, AniMiracles, ANIMiracles.com, and just put 15, mini 15, Lavendar or something to that effect. Make sure you put Lavendar in the subject line, and Lori will know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
and you can get a free mini reading from Lori. So make sure that you let us know when your TV show is up and running, and we would just love to have you come back.
Okay, great. I will look forward to that, and I'll be in touch.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Dr. Lori Moore.
Thank you.
And
bye-bye.
From all of us here at Starseed Radio Academy, thank you so much for listening. We're glad to be back, and we will see you next week. From all of us here, much love. Good night, everyone.
You've been listening to Starseed Radio Academy. Visit our website at www.starseedhotline.com.